Welcome to episode 37 of Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with in-demand demo producer, Eric Romanowski. Listen in as Eric shares how he became a demo producer, his top do's and don'ts to consider before having a voiceover demo produced, and why he feels coaching is so essential no matter where you're at in your voiceover career. Here's our chat. Eric Romanowski, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Thanks for having me.
Truly appreciate it. So I'm going to start off by asking you, how did you find yourself as a demo producer and coach?
By accident.
By accident. Ooh,
yeah.
Tell me.
It was never intended. So I was in radio, as many people know, and it all kind of started when people would reach out to me for imaging demos. And I was like, sure, I can do that. Like, why not? And so I kind of, this was, you know, years ago at this point, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago,
yeah.
People would hit me up for imaging demos because that's pretty much all I really did in radio ever. I was never on air. And then business year after year just kept growing and growing. And I was like, wow, I could totally go somewhere with this. And I loved doing it. I loved working with individual talents. I loved working with so many different people, so many different personalities, skill levels, all that stuff.
So you went full-time with that then and let go of the radio thing?
Just last year. I mean, and even last year, if you would have asked me last year, hey, you're going to be a demo producer full-time, I would have said, yeah, at some point. And then it all happened when I went to VO Atlanta and I was inspired by everything that happened. I was like, you know what? I'm doing this. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I truly love it and made the jump in May of last year.
What did you do in radio? Were you producer or editor?
Yeah, I was an imaging director.
Okay.
I did that for four stations in Virginia Beach for the last 10 years.
Wow. Okay.
Even kind of caught them off guard. It was like one of those things where I put my 2 weeks and they're like, can you stay for a month? You know, it was that kind of thing. So I ended up staying, you know, longer than 2 weeks. But
so they didn't downsize. It was your choice because a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, and I'm, you know, I very grateful for that. Like, I never lost a radio job. You know, that's like you were about to say. It's so common where people are like, it's out of our hands. Like, we got to let you go. But now it was, you know, the position still exists. You know, I talked to the person that holds my position now. So it was thankfully very willingly.
So you don't just do producing of radio imaging demos.
No.
You go beyond that. Is there one area that you focus on or do you do the gamut of demos?
I would say, like, in terms of animation, I will typically refer that to other people. The only thing I ever do with animation really is if someone reaches out to me, I'll say, hey, I'm cool doing the sound design, but to build your characters, to coach you through it, and then I'll refer them to people. Other than that, promo, TV promo, TV news affiliate, commercial and narration are pretty much the other things I do. Varying levels. People seek me out for other things more than others, but...
Uh-huh. And you know, what's the also process? More, like, do they just call you up and work with you or get a demo, or do they work with you beforehand as a coach?
The only thing I coach is imaging.
Okay.
Everything else, I refer people to talent. It's very... There's some people, like we were just talking about Mike Bratton. Like, if Mike Bratton came to me and said, hey, I need a demo, I trust his judgment that he's at the level he needs to be at. I'll certainly say, hey, if you haven't coached in a while in TV affiliate, it wouldn't be a bad idea to hit up so-and-so. But if it's not someone as polished in the pro level as Mike, you know, I kind of vet through the process and just talk him through it and say, hey, who have you worked with? I'm very unlikely to just jump into a demo with someone, you know, that hasn't coached. In fact, I won't really jump into a demo with someone who hasn't coached.
Thank you, Jesus, because so many people, I think, want to go and just get their demo and think they can just set up shop and go.
No, I'm a very honest person, probably a little too honest. I always tell people, you know, where, you know, I'd rather do without your money than to take you on and then find out a year from now, you know, you're scrambling just to get make ends meet because, you know, you spent all this money on demos and you never really coached. And even people that have a career in it now, they're like, you know, why are you telling me to go to a coach? You know, like in a roundabout way, they're kind of like, why is he so worried that I coach? And it's like, well, you just told me you haven't coached in like 3 years. So why not?
Yeah.
You know, you're about to spend close to $2,000 on a demo. You don't want to spend $150 to $200 to brush up on your skills. It's just, to me, it just totally makes sense. So
why do you think it's important for folks to have a strong demo? Because this is an investment for people. They're investing their time and their dollars.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the whole agency role plays into account. You know, like if you just send, you might be better than your demo, but if your demo doesn't show what you can do, at least to get yourself noticed or to get that ball rolling with an agent, if you're going to send it to an agent and he listens to your demo and he's like, I can't do anything with this. Then it's like, right. Well, the ball stops. Like it's over. That's the end. And you might have burnt that bridge. There are some agents that I know that have said, hey, this demo is not where it needs to be. Hit me back up in a couple of years when you can get it where it needs to be. But not every agent's going to do that. I don't know that it's worth the risk. Some have enough people on the roster. It's like, you know,
right. They're just going to put an X next to your name. What are the top three things you think people should avoid when looking at producing a demo or do, you know?
The don'ts, I would say, is the one thing I get is to not be over eager. Like, I know it's super exciting and it's such a fun industry, but if you rush the process, you're only going to hurt yourself. And it's very hard to tell someone coming to you saying, you know, hey, this is what I want to do. And I want to spend $8,000 with you and do 4 demos. And I'm like, in imaging, I'm like, like, let's do 2.
Yeah.
And I just saved you $4,000. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. I don't care. Like, I'd rather save you the money and hear like a year from now that you have a few stations or you picked up a couple of commercial clients, because then I know you're going to come back to me anyways.
Right.
You know, like if you're happy with the product that I give you, you're more than likely going to come back anyway. So one of the don'ts, I think we were saying, is to not be over eager.
Yeah. Like,
don't rush the process. One of the do's is obviously to get coached. It's just too competitive to not coach. Like when I have someone reach out to me and they say, I've never coached, I'm just like, how is that even a thing? And you know, some people do have success from not coaching. I'm not going to say it's a one size fits all industry, but I do think that to take your game to the next level and to really have a prolonged career, you have to coach. Like even the best people in each area of VO, they're coaching.
Oh yeah. Look at the best athletes. Look at Tiger Woods.
Right. And that was one of my examples that I recently posted on social media. It's like, okay, I'm Tom Brady, so I'm not going to work with my coach for 3 years and I'm just going to wing it for the next 3 years. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
No, I'm with you on that.
I think that was one do and one don't. I don't know if that's good enough. We can go further, but
tell me one more if you got one more.
A do.
Yeah.
Let's jump back to a don't for a second. Don't is to, you know, don't try and do everything. Start small, try and get some traction small. You know, I had someone reach out to me for an imaging demo yesterday. She's a complete newbie. And I said, you'd be a better fit to start with commercial and narration. So like someone just trying to jump into something that might not really make sense in the beginning or to jump into everything. They're like, yeah, I just got my commercial narration demo done and now I want to do promo and radio. It's like, well, did you recoup the money from those first demos? Like those are the things you have to
keep in mind.
You know. Yeah. So I guess a do would be to do understand that you're running a business.
Yeah. You know, I was like, just talking to Sophia Cruz and she was talking about that to me. Like, this is a business. Yeah. Treat it like a business.
Yeah.
I wish someone had said that to me when I first started because I didn't.
I can't tell you the amount of people like I turn away just because I just don't. Not because I don't think that they're ready or they're right for it. They're maybe not taking the approach that I would suggest. They're a little too eager and they just spent $4,000 on other demos and now they're wanting to jump into more. It's like I'm going to be here in a year. Like hit me back up in a year when you can get some money back, you know, and you're not living paycheck to paycheck, you know, like it's a lot of, I want to do this. They get so excited and so enwrapped in it. And I understand why. I'm trying to be the voice of reason for a lot of people.
I like that. That should be part of your tagline in your business. I think that's cool because I do completely agree with you. And I've fallen prey to that and been guilty of being over eager and zealous in my career in the beginning and wanting to do too much. And part of it though, too, was not trusting in myself and trusting in the process, like kind of wanting to speed it up rather than letting it organically grow the way that anything that's worth half its salt
and that's why working with like reputable, trustworthy people, I think is so important, because I'll have people reach out to me and we'll kind of like talk about the process or whatever. And it's almost like they're waiting for me to say something the wrong way or because they've been burned before. And it's like, no, like I'm just telling you, I'm being honest with you. This is what it is. And I'm not sugarcoating. And sometimes I think they just seems like it seems too good to be true because they've been burnt before. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so important to like do your research and to find reputable people that aren't just trying to line their pockets. The one thing I always say about a good coach is no good coach is going to drag out the process with a talent because they have other people waiting for them, knocking at their door, ready to work with them. So they have no reason to drag the process out with you.
Guarding your process and how you work with someone when you produce a demo, what is that like once you decide to take someone on?
Yeah. So I'll basically, you know, ask the questions that I need to know to see if it's even like worth them moving on or where they need to go before we work together. Once that's all decided, it's a pretty simple process. You know, like it's generally, I book about 30 days out, but once we get rolling, I'll reach back out to that person. We'll talk on the phone. We'll talk about copy. We'll talk about things that we think is a good fit for whatever demo it is, promo. They're working with a coach. I'll sometimes reach out to that coach and say, hey, what do you think? Or they'll even hit me up and give me some thoughts. I'll write the copy, send it to them, get their thoughts. And then basically I'll connect with them. We'll record it. 99.9% of my demos have been done remotely. So that's never really an issue if you're wherever you are. So record, and then, you know, pretty standard procedure. I'll edit, produce, license music, sound effects, all that stuff that's all included. Pass it off to them, get their thoughts, feedback, any revisions that they see fit, I'm happy to make. And then...
So you write commercial copy for commercial demos?
I write the copy for all the demos that I do. I'll gather copy.
And how do you come up with ideas for that?
Well, some stuff I'll kind of tweak. Some existing stuff is sometimes what I'll do. Some things are written from scratch. Sometimes I'll twist an idea that I've seen to make, you know, I just like to make sure that it's creative and it covers all facets of, you know, what they need to hit in terms of, you know, the hushed read, the you know, conversational read, the upbeat, energetic read, you know, all that stuff. So, and that's kind of what the call prior to me starting to write is all about. It's like, okay, what brands do we want to hit on? Do we feel like you're a good fit for everything? Where do you book the most? Mm-hmm. You know, so that I got to make sure that I hit that area, if it's the conversational reader or whatever it is. So
when you're producing a demo, do you feel like a strong demo has to have the conversational read, the dramatic read? Like, how do you have that variety there and that it speaks volumes for that talent too and highlights their
strength? I mean, I obviously, ideally, the ideal talent, if you're to build the prototype talent, yes, they're going to be able to do everything, but not everyone can. And I'm never one to like force someone into a type of read that is just a stretch for them or it sounds forced. So that being said, yes, obviously the basis of the demo is to have them do as many things as possible. And then from there, it's like when we talk, it's like, oh, okay, you know, I don't think that's the kind of read. I'm not the gritty attitude kind of person. My voice is much more guy next door, you know? So we drop that gritty read and then we get as gritty as we can to show some range. But
have you ever had a situation with someone that you're recording and they want to do something that may be something where they're just not there yet, you know, like the gritty read or the sultry read?
And that's honestly, like, again, that's where the honesty comes in. Like, I don't do them any justice by saying, by saying, okay, cool, let's just stick with that. It's good enough. Like, that's just not how I work. So that's kind of where it's like, okay, like, honestly, like 2 weeks ago, it was like, like this copy, you know, we both weren't feeling it. I was like, you know what? Let's reconnect tomorrow. I'm going to rewrite this. We're going to reconnect and we'll get it right. We're not going to force it. Mm-hmm. Even if like the demo's produced and they're like, either of us, you know, there's times where I'll write them and say, you know what, I think we missed the mark on this one. Let's reconnect and give this another run through and fix. And they're like, yeah, I agree. Or I'm very open. To me, it's a collaboration.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree. And it has to be, because you've got to be, the talent has to trust you completely within the process. What demos do you feel a talent should have? You know, main demos, because there's so much out there now that you can have. Yeah. There's telephony, there's, you know, e-learning. What are the main demos that you feel a talent should have if they want to be viable in this industry?
I mean, I don't know if there's any, like, kind of like what I mentioned before, like a one size fits all. I mean, someone who comes from radio typically will lean to radio imaging. I mean, like, you know, I know someone that just does radio imaging, like 95% of their work is in radio imaging. So I don't know if there's you know, you have to have this demo kind of thing. But to me, and I'm sure most coaches, like, you know, commercial and narration seem to be where most people will start. I have a lot of people reach out to me that are really passionate about animation and they really don't care about anything else. Mm-hmm. So like that's in that regard, like, yeah, maybe the animation work might be harder to get because you're not based in LA or whatever, but I'm all about people following their dreams as long as they're making the progress they need to make and finding the right resources, working with the right coaches to attain that goal. If they're just like shooting into the open and hoping for something to stick, then, you know, that's kind of where it's like, you got to reevaluate. But commercial and narration typically tend to be where most people will start. I think those are, you're going to usually get the biggest bang for your buck in those areas. You know, there's so much narration work in terms of, you know, all the breakdowns of corporate e-learning, all that stuff. So
that kind of piggybacks on this question. Is there a particular area within voiceovers that you see starting to really pick up and boom, where there's a lot of work there?
I mean, it's, you know, narration seems to be, I know people like when things are slow, they'll always hit me up and say, hey, you know, like I'm doing a ton of explainer e-learning stuff. You know what I mean? Like the internet is such a powerhouse. It's like, you know, so that makes sense to me. So a lot of the narration stuff.
But you would subdivide those.
I would.
Demos up, right? Like explainer demo, e-learning versus just having it as narration demo. Yes? Or would you have it all on one?
It depends on the situation. I've done various things for various people. I think everyone comes to me with different needs and wants. You know, someone that's booking a ton of that stuff might want the corporate demo. Someone that's just trying to break into it a little more, that's when I think something like a non-broadcast narration demo works. Okay. You know, it's kind of like someone coming to me for radio imaging. I'm going to have them start small. I'm not going to say, hey, let's do six formats and see what sticks. You know, that's just not how I would do it. So my approach for things is just to not try and bite off more than you can chew.
Yep. Totally. So how can people learn more about you and your work?
It's earblowingaudio.com. And then, you know, on all the socials, it's pretty much Earblowing Audio. So beautiful. LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I'm there.
Awesome. Eric, my last question for you is, Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. So that said, given who you are and your line of work as a demo producer, what do you hope your overall voice conveys in life as well as in your line of work?
I think for me, the best feeling I get is when I'm honest with people, and I want people to think of me as someone who just, my intentions are always good. I'm always looking out for talent. I want people to, yes, obviously I'm running a business, so I need to make money, but I want them to have success after the demo. You know, when I hear someone tell me I booked this or this directly off your demo, there's no better feeling than that. I mean, it's almost as good as getting a referral from someone. That person has trusted you and is willing to pass your name on to someone else and say, this is the guy like that you need to hit up. Like, you know, to me, that's the best feeling. To make a long answer even longer, I just want to be known as a person of integrity. Very honest person who's just trying to do the best he can and to help talent do the best they can and to push them as far as they can go.
Well, I think your voice does do that because, like I said before we started our chat, your reputation exceeds you because I've heard all about you before we've been on connected through social media. So I so appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. It was awesome.
Thanks for listening in. And a reminder, if you haven't already taken my free 5-day VO challenge, sign up at tinazvotraining.com/challenge. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.